Welcome to the Plant Witch Podcast, where we enter together into the web of life in all of its many seen and unseen dimensions. I'm Erin Schrader, and it is my honor to hold this portal to the other world. Let's enter, shall we?
I've recorded a few podcast episodes in the few weeks, in the previous few weeks, that never made it onto the editing table because I've been so steeped in this Mercury retrograde energy and all of this scorpionic Taurian axis energy. And a lot of what I've said in the past few weeks, I might regret in the coming weeks. So I'm going to leave those episodes to marinate until I can see more clearly outside of the influence of these Martian energies. As so much of the astrology has been happening in Mars sign of Aries. And Mars is the traditional ruler of Scorpio. So we're just going to let those subjects marinate in the wholeness of the integration period that starts today. So today, Mercury finally goes direct, and there will be some more clarity as we move out of that astrological season. The eclipse season is now over. Now is the time of integration and discernment. As we look back at all the things that came up for us in the past few weeks, and I know lots and lots of things have come up for me. I had the really great honor and privilege of being interviewed for the Druid Wisdom podcast. I don't have the date yet of when that episode will come out, but I'll be sure to tell you when it does. I have a neighbor using some kind of heavy equipment. I'm not sure what it is, but if you can hear it in the background, I can't tell you what that is. It sounds like a planing tool or something. I don't know. But the Druid Wisdom podcast is the podcast for the Ancient Order of Druids in America. And you can find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And they've had wonderful guests, including Jack Campbell, who is the bishop of the Gnostic Celtic Church, which the monastery that I'm a member of, it belongs to the Gnostic Celtic Church. So hearing Jack's story was really fascinating, and I loved that episode. Our Archdruid Dana O'Driscoll's been interviewed for the Druid Wisdom podcast. So if you're Druid curious and want to know more about the AODA in particular, their podcast might be of interest to you. I'm sitting out in the garden, surrounded by a raucous of green. So many plants are just rocketing out of the ground, growing inches by the day. Some of them are welcome additions to the garden, and some I'll be removing from the garden. And that feels just exactly like the energy I'm in today as Mercury goes direct and we start to integrate the insights that we've experienced over the past few weeks, especially since the solar eclipse in Aries in the beginning of April. The crows have come to join. They seem to know when I'm podcasting. As we look at the garden of our lives, or the garden that we tend in physical reality, you know, we're in Taurus season, so things are really practical and embodied right now and have literal meanings. Besides, you know, we're not just living in metaphor land, but how do those metaphors come to land in our physical reality? So when we look at the garden of our lives and all the wild green growing things that want to live in the garden of our lives or want our attention, how do we discern which plants stay, which activities stay, which people stay, which projects stay, and which fall prey to the hori hori and come out of the garden and go into the compost bin or get divided and go into someone else's garden. That tool of discernment, and I've talked about that here on the podcast so many times before because I feel like it is such an underappreciated and underdeveloped tool for modern humans, the tool of discernment. So I want to come back to that today. There are so many factors that go into discerning the truth of something, the credibility of someone, the potency of information or healing work. And in our current state of development as humans, we're really rethinking discernment and truth in almost every sphere. You know, there's a whole movement of people who believe that the earth is flat and feel strongly that they have evidence to support that. There are movements of people that believe censorship is the way to control information and protect from dangerous movements. Artificial intelligence has now given us access to something called deep fakes, which are videos that look exactly like a person talking, but they aren't really that person. They're generated by AI, so we don't know if it's real or not. And these AI programs can use the faces of our loved ones and their voices, the faces and voices of celebrities. And so our ability to discern what is real is really undermined by this kind of technology as well. So on all fronts, we're being sort of faced with this critical need to discern for ourselves because we are bankrupt of collective truth at the moment. We don't have an overarching story, a meta story that we can belong to together. And you can find evidence to support almost anything that you want to believe. So the ability to discern with credibility is becoming a personal endeavor rather than a collective agreement on what is true and real. This is a frontier. This is wild land for humanity. You know, we have found our belonging through collective investment in story and identity forever and fiercely guarding that collective identity in ways that were pretty extreme in the past. You know, think of the Crusades or you know, wars over religion and land ownership. And we've been willing to kill people to protect our tribal identity. And, you know, that is still happening too in parts of the world and may happen closer to home than we want to think about and is happening in ways that aren't actual warfare, but are like modern warfare. You know, people undermining each other, getting each other fired from jobs, swatting people's houses. There is this, you know, fierce commitment to what we've discerned to be truth, and then the desire and an ability to undermine people who seem to stand in the way of that. So to bring it back to like a really personal place, because again, this is Taurus season, where your feet are. If you look at the garden of your life, what is growing there? Where are you giving your time and energy and attention? And are you in control of that? And how do you know that what you're giving your time, energy, and attention to is in alignment with who you want to be and the world you want to create? To me, that is the bottom line of discernment. Being deeply in touch with who I am, how I want to be that self in the world, and what is in alignment with that self that I know that I am. And then when I'm engaging with something that is out of alignment with that, I know right away because I feel it in my body. My body tells me. My body gets uncomfortable. My body wants to flee the area or have a fight with someone. There are lots of ways that the body cues me into misalignment. And sometimes we do need to fight back. We do need to stand and say, this is so out of alignment, and this relationship is so important, or this project is so important, that I need to inject my energy into this really, really fully to try to steer this conversation that feels really important to me. I'm seeing that here locally. Our school boards have been sort of systematically influenced by like a really particular flavor of traditional religious values here in South Central Pennsylvania, where I live. And a lot of people in my community feel so out of alignment with that enforcement of traditional Christian values that they feel fiercely called to bring their voice to the boardroom and say, we can't go backwards in this way. We can't force people to follow a religion they don't believe in. We can't legislate in our school systems religious traditions that not everyone belongs to. And so that's a place where the alignment has a great cost and their voice has great value and great power to shape the narrative. Sometimes when we find ourselves out of alignment, the answer is just to move away from it. That this is something I'm not in alignment with. It's not high stakes. It doesn't require my energy or my voice. I'm just going to move away from it. And I find that to be really true in relationships of, you know, acquaintances or work relationships that are low consequence, you know, the person at the water cooler who's just always gossiping and nothing productive comes out of the conversation. We learn to protect our energy and just move away from that. We don't need to make it a big issue. We don't need to go to war with this person or show them who we are. We can just, you know, step back and make more space between us. So that's part of discernment too. Not every fight is our fight. Not everything needs to be a fight, but sometimes it does. And when we need to step up to the fight, how can we make sure we are well resourced for the battle to come? As I'm talking about this, I'm looking at oregano, who is dancing in the wind right at my feet. This sweet, tiny little oregano plant that I planted 2 years ago that is now a green devouring cloud all over my garden. I can't give more space to oregano. Oregano is hot, spicy, aggressive. I can't ignore oregano's presence and just withdraw my energy from oregano, because if I do, my whole garden will be lost to oregano. I have to engage oregano to redefine the boundaries, exert my will and my influence. And so I've already divided this oregano dozens of times and given away oregano to other people in my community. And this year I'll do that again. And there's going to be a large quantity of oregano besides what I dry and tincture and harvest. It's going in the compost because it is so prolific that it is overabundant to the point that it needs composting. And so not only do I have to engage oregano with my will and my shovel and my generosity of the abundance, but I also have to be willing to say that there are actually limits to the usefulness of this plant. There is only so much oregano that I need and my community needs, and it can go back to the soil. And I find myself doing that in some communities that I have belonged to in the past, where I've given a lot of my energy and my will to this particular project or this particular community. And I've worked for years and years to have good boundaries in those relationships and express myself and connect in the larger community to be more well-resourced. And at some point, I just say, it's time for this to go in the compost. Like, I don't want to put more energy into this relationship. I don't want to put more of my own will into steering this. Its usefulness has run out for me. And so I'll divest my energy from that community entirely. And often I find so much freedom after I do that. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much of myself I was giving to worrying about this, to endlessly engaging with this project, to endlessly strategizing around this particular mindset or problem. I've given my all to this. It's time for a new voice to come in and make an impact. This is not my fight anymore. So how that looks in my garden might be this oregano that's left over after the great dividing may go in a pot. So I don't have to do this anymore. But in relationships, it's looked like walking away and saying, I can feel that you need to take up more space than I'm willing to let you have in my life. And of course, I love oregano. I'm growing it on purpose. Oregano is a powerful medicine. So it's not a value judgment against oregano. It's a reality, a practical judgment against what I need for my own garden. So I had a conversation with a friend on social media this morning where she was noticing the oregano plants in her online communities, people who were taking up a lot of her energy and time without contributing that much, or people who were clearly out of alignment with her goals and boundaries. And she was giving herself the freedom to stop engaging with those people, maybe even to unfriend them on her social media platforms or block them. And how hard that can be for those of us who've been so well conditioned to be the peacekeepers and the people pleasers, and we just smile and nod, and internally we're feeling the desire to get out our spade and dig this oregano out. But externally we're like, oh, but it's so green and healthy and beautiful. Like, how dare I stand against this devouring force? And that's part of the healing work of this time. And I think what's coming out of this eclipse season and this Mercury retrograde is that it's okay for us to get out the shovel and say, like, I don't want to see this person on my newsfeed anymore. I don't want to engage in these conversations that have no end point. I don't want to collude with this worldview anymore, and not convince ourselves that it makes us bad people or judgmental or unkind or mean girls or bullies or anything like that. We're really just saying, like, my energy is limited and finite, and this is not what I want to spend it on. Maybe I don't want to spend it on social media at all. Maybe I don't want to spend it volunteering for this project. Maybe I don't want to spend it trying to make nice with the parents of my kids' friends to make life easier for my kids. Maybe I can just trust my kids to have their own relationships. Like, there are so many ways that we convince ourselves that we have to put energy into places where we're getting little to no energy back. And it's often because we feel bad or guilty about exerting our own boundaries, our own limits, our own desires. So in this place where the oregano cloud has sort of devoured all the available real estate, once I've exerted my boundaries really clearly with oregano, then I get to redream in that space. What goes here in this open area that has been consumed by excess? What can I plant here now? Maybe I'll plant coral bells. Maybe I'll plant more bergamot. I love to dream into what this space can be. And I know for a fact that even after this space is cleared of oregano, I will be finding oregano plants emerging for years to come in this garden bed, because it is so tenacious. And we can guarantee that in these other relationships in the garden of our lives. So maybe we stop volunteering for the PTO because we realize we're not actually getting anything back from this. People just like to hear themselves talk. The conversations are circular. Maybe there's another place we can exert our will and our energy that may have more power to change the conversation. So we remove ourselves from that dynamic. But that dynamic may pop up again in the next thing we engage in, where we find the same kind of circular energy that we then have to divest ourselves from. Or maybe the PTO will, lots of people will follow our example, and suddenly there's no one on the PTO, so they're begging us to come back. So that is the oregano popping back up again and again and again. But when we can hold our center, know what we're trying to create, and stay committed to that, whether it's I'm committed to nurturing the bergamot that I've planted, which gives me the will to keep digging out this oregano no matter how many times it comes back. That's alignment with our discernment. So then we can use our tools of discernment, the hori hori, the shovel, and we can use it strategically, powerfully, confidently, without shame, without guilt, without second guessing, because we're clearly in alignment with what we're trying to create in the world. And we don't have to make space for what it is, for what we have an overabundance of, what doesn't really nurture us, what isn't feeding us, what feels like a drain. I try to research some flat earth theories because I love to entertain all perspectives. But once I started researching it, I realized this is a stream of thought I don't want to put any more energy into. And so I stopped quickly, actually. And that's been true in a lot of places of my life where I feel some curiosity or desire to be inclusive or desire to educate myself so that I can be more integrated and whole. And then there can be just a nibble. I don't have to, you know, spend a lot of time trying to contort my mind to make room for something that is not in alignment. Once I know it's not in alignment, I can put it down and walk away and focus my energy on things that I want to grow in my garden that are in alignment with who I know I am and what I want to create in the world. And this really allows us to move in a state of flow. Those of you who are gardeners, you know what flow feels like in the garden. You go out and you start working in one area of the garden, and then another area calls your eye and you tend to that area of the garden, and then you notice a new plant that wasn't there before, and that's really exciting. And then maybe you end up researching that plant and finding out something you didn't know before. Or maybe you find a new insect in the garden or a little tiny bunny den with baby bunnies in it, and that's something that you can research and keep an eye on and stay close to. So as soon as you come into the garden with your gloves and your knee pads and your shovel, your hand trowel, you've opened to a world of flow that you can surrender to and be taken in new directions that you didn't even imagine, but lead to a greater wholeness and a greater understanding of yourself and the landscape and the plants and animals you share your landscape with. And that is just the same way in every area of our lives. We don't have to have a sense of like rigid control or devotion to one particular predetermined outcome. It's more like, how can I hold myself in a state of openness to following this energy of curiosity and wonder and connection and emergence, and let that be the way we discern? Like, oh, I can feel life and vitality and interest and joy and energy in this direction. That's the direction I'm going to go in. Where in this direction, I feel like I'm wasting a lot of time. I'm fighting a lot. I don't see a lot of opportunity for change. I'm going to move away from that. And so discerning for ourselves how to engage this flow in a way that's life-giving. In my garden, that feels like the way that we co-create a story going forward that we can all invest in together. This age of Aquarius is ushering in incredible individuality that is connected to a greater sense of community. So we don't have to give up our unique flow, our unique discernment, our unique truth in order to find common ground and the common good. So unlike our past, where we were really tribal and our identity was really solid in community, in the future, our identity will be really individualized and woven into a collective commonality. And I don't think we know what that looks like yet. But finding these ways to clearly discern and flow help to usher that new reality in for all of us. So I hope you're feeling as energized as I am today by Mercury going direct. And I hope you're getting clarity about what wants to grow in your garden and where you need to put the shovel in the ground. And I hope you can let go of any sense of shame or guilt or forcing yourself to be a different kind of way so that you can follow the flow of wonder and curiosity and what enlivens you and really give your life force there. Because in those places, you're not just feeding yourself, you're feeding all of us collectively with your particular genius. And we really need it. If you would like to support the podcast, you can find a link at plantwitchpodcast.com, or you can go directly to Patreon at patreon.com/therebelherbalist. We welcome your financial support, and we also welcome your participation in this vibrant community of humans who are working together to rejoin the web of life. The audio that you hear for the intro and outro of this podcast is the song Vikings by Alan Gray. Thank you for joining me for the Plant Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Schrader. I'm an herbalist, a mother, a holistic nurse, and a practitioner of the ancient ways. Thank you for joining me, and it's time to come back to life.